Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. We continue with my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If today is your first time joining me, thank you. Today we pick it up in Luke chapter 12. We will begin in verse 35. And I had already discussed the previous 34 verses out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. It is a lengthy chapter. So if you have not listened to those previous sessions, I really recommend you do so, so you can approach today's session in context and get the best out of it. So listen to today's session, then go back and listen to the previous sessions, because the Lord Jesus' timeless teachings will truthfully transform your life. So today we are in Luke 12 verse 35. What is the gist of these upcoming verses? In these upcoming verses, the Lord Jesus will use a parable to discuss mindful watchfulness in regards to his second coming. And just in case you are not aware, a parable is simply a story used to illustrate and point out a moral and or spiritual lesson. Okay? Again, throughout the Lord Jesus' teachings, he used a lot of parables to highlight or illustrate a spiritual and or a moral lesson for us, the listeners. So today he will use this parable to teach us about being spiritually alert at all times in regards to his second coming, which is imminent. So in this parable we are about to go over, just know that the servants here refer to us followers of Jesus Christ, and the master here refers to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Before we continue, I want to bring to your attention today's additional resource. This is a book I wrote a few years back, which has really blessed hundreds of people. The book is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. This book comes to us here at the ministry as a donation for a total of $33. It's a big, thick book, about 355 pages. It's a phenomenal, practical how-to book. It helps you how to live the life in accordance with the Word of God. It teaches you how to excel in your identity in Christ. It teaches you how to know who you are in Christ. This book will really help you, give you practical tools on how to live as a Christian. We are really asking for you to support this podcast ministry by getting this book. As I mentioned, it's a $33 donation to us. And this book has its own website. It's www.areyoumovingforward.com. We will attach this in the description box. If you live overseas, you can get this book from Amazon. You can also visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanya.org/donate, and make a donation there of $33, including shipping and handling. We are also on Cash App. It is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanya. That is the address there. And if you live in the continental USA, we do receive donations through Zelle telephone. Number for the Zelle donation is 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And we will have this also in the description box for you to do this. I really recommend you get this book. It will bless you. Get it as a gift for somebody else if you think you don't need it, but I think you do need it. It's a Bible teaching book on how to excel and overcome daily as a Christian. And doing so will be a donation to us. So we thank you in advance for getting this additional resource that will help you and help us. So thank you in advance for that donation. Okay, so we continue here in Luke 12 verse 35. So, verse 35, the Lord would continue. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Already, we are getting an idea about what the Lord Jesus is about to talk about. He is already talking about getting our lamp burning, which symbolizes the righteousness that we as followers of Jesus Christ have inherited freely when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we are supposed to submit to the word of God and allow the light and the lamp of Christ to be revealed through us so others can see, because we are the light of this dark world and we are the salt of the world. Okay, so the Lord Jesus is already saying that we should allow our lamps burning like servants. This is verse 36, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Exactly. The Lord is like, keep your lamp burning, i.e. submit to my teachings, focus on me, be prepared for my second coming. It could happen at any time. Be submissive to my teachings. That way, when I return, I will find you ready. So now in verse 37, the Lord continues, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, it would be good for us, his followers, if we are ready when he comes unexpectedly on his second return. So I want to just pause here before I continue to the next verse, which will be verse 39. So how are we to be ready for Christ? The Lord Jesus is talking about this watchfulness. How can we do that? Number one, we embrace godly truths in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We take a stand that the Word of God is the final authority in all things pertaining in our lives and in the world and in existence. Do you believe the Word of God is the final authority? I'm asking you. This is how we can be prepared, because the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is God. When we take a position to embrace the Word of God as the final authority in all things pertaining to life, we would be ready. We would be watchful of Christ Jesus' second coming, because the Word of God will lead and guide us as we submit to God's teachings. Again, that brings me to the very second point. How can we be ready for Christ's second return? We submit to all the teachings in the Word of God. We submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, whose job, one of his job in our lives, is to sanctify us, mold and shape us into the image of Christ. We submit to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, we allow the Holy Spirit to take precedence in our lives, and we continually be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be spiritually attuned and discerning to that still voice of God. And we obey God. We obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And we partake in advancing the Great Commission, which is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You do not need a degree in theology to do this. All you got to do is to tell someone else what Jesus Christ has done and continue to do in your life. That would be spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and most importantly, you be the light and the salt in your immediate environment so others can see Christ's righteousness in and through you. That will attract them to you and the Christ you serve. You live in peace, you be at peace. You uphold truth, you live in the joy of the Lord. You don't get into arguing, quarreling, fighting. You keep focus on the Word of God. These are ways we can be prepared. We have to be Christ-centered at all times to be prepared, because Jesus Christ, his second return is imminent. He could come at any time. So friend, how prepared are you if Jesus Christ were to come today? Are you fulfilling your unique call or calling in your life? That is another way we are supposed to be prepared. Each of us is blessed with a unique gift. It could be the gift of singing, the gift of evangelism, the gift of service, the gift of prophecy. Are you operating in that gift to the best of your ability? This is what the Lord Jesus is talking about, that we have to be prepared. We have to engage in life and be wise in advancing the kingdom of God, fulfilling our unique callings, and we should always be ready. Okay? So we move to verse 39. But understand this, the Lord Jesus will continue. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Exactly. So if the owner of a house knew a thief was coming, what do you think that owner would do? That owner would be better prepared, right? That way the thief will not break in. Now follow the line of the Lord Jesus' teaching here. In verse 40, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I like the way he did that contrast. Just like the owner of a house who was prepared and the thief could not break into that house, likewise, we have to be prepared at all times, because we do not know when the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, would be coming at the second time. And if you are not aware, the Son of Man, that is messianic title of the Lord Jesus. He is also Son of God. Okay, Son of God, because he experiences supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit. He bypassed the sinful seed at the conception of Jesus Christ by God the Holy Spirit. He did not inherit any sin. He came into this world supernaturally sinless, Son of God. And because he was born or birthed into this world by a woman, Mary, he is also Son of Man. So the Lord Jesus Christ had this dualistic nature, 100% God, 100% man. So we see him here referring to one of his messianic titles, Son of Man. So that is what he is talking about. So Peter asked, after the Lord Jesus gave this simple a parable or illustration, one of his disciples, Peter, asked him this question, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Verse 42, the Lord Jesus would respond. The Lord Jesus answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food and allowance at the proper time? Verse 43, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. So what the Lord Jesus is saying here is that when we are obedient and faithful to the calling, the gifts that the Lord has blessed us with, God will promote us by giving us more opportunities to serve him, and that is the reward, okay, that we will get in the here and now, more opportunities to serve God because we are obedient and faithful, okay? So if we are faithful in what we are blessed with, like I just explained, we're faithful in our gift. Say, if it is singing, we're faithfully serving God with that gift. If it is teaching, like my gift, I am faithfully serving God with that gift of teaching, and I am submissive to God. That means that I am being faithful in my gifting. That means that I am being wise. I am a good steward in my gifting. And as a result, the Lord Jesus will give me more opportunities to serve my gift. Are you getting this? So the Lord Jesus is tying our faithfulness to being wise in managing our gifts. Okay, so we continue. But suppose, this is now in verse 43, but suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. Essentially, he's talking about a servant, i.e. a Christian, who is lazy, who is not being a good steward of his or her gift, who is not faithful with his or her gift. So the Lord Jesus is making this contrast here. In verse 46, he's saying that the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Here is the bottom line. The bottom line is that the Lord expects us to be faithful in our area of gifting, to be wise stewards in our area of gifting. As we do that, we will have more opportunities to serve the Lord. But if we're lazy, if we do nothing about our area of gifting, if we are unfaithful and we are poor stewards to our gifts and calling, there are consequences to that. That is what he is saying there at the end of verse 46. We continue here in verse 47. And before I even go to verse 47, I want to bring this to your attention, which you kind of already figured it out, hopefully. When we are faithful and we are wise stewards in our gifting, we are rewarded with more opportunities. So the more opportunities is the reward that we get in this life. And obviously, we get more reward, or we get the ultimate reward when we die and go be with the Lord. And the reward, really, is not necessarily money. It's just talking about the fulfillment and the joy and the peace that comes when you are in the middle of God's will and you're making a difference in this world, and you are changing lives. You are allowing God to use you to change lives. That is the best place to be in life. That is the best reward that each of us should aim towards, to make a difference, to be impactful in the lives of others. That is where we find true joy and peace and satisfaction about our existence. So let me ask you, are you fulfilling your calling? Are you experiencing any rewards? Are you being faithful and diligent with whatever the Lord has called you to do, or whatever the Lord has placed in your heart? If you are not, this is the time for you to begin. Make a decision today and tell yourself that, you know what, I am going to be a faithful and a wise, diligent servant to the gift that the Lord has given me, or the Lord has blessed me with. It's never too late. As long as you're still breathing, you can make a difference today. And you don't need to wait for some huge opportunities. Just start where you are. Take little steps and see how God will open more doors for you. And you will start to truly live that life that God wants you to experience, making a difference in your immediate environment and in your immediate community. I hope you can take that step of faith and you will be rewarded. Okay, so now we get back here to verse 47. The Lord Jesus continued, the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. Exactly. If you are aware of what your gifts and callings are, you do nothing, you just become passive and lazy, boy, you will endure a lot of pain and suffering, and you just won't enjoy the life the way God wants you to. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying, that you will be beaten with many blows, because knowing what you're supposed to be doing and not doing it brings a lot of depression, sadness, regrets. That is not where you need to be. God wants you to fulfill his calling in your life so you can enjoy the peace and the joy and make a difference. Unfortunately, though, some people are fully aware of their gifts and callings. They are fully aware that they should serve God, but in disobedience, they reject and they deny to do that. Verse 48, the Lord Jesus continued, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. We see something about the nature of God here. The Lord Jesus is saying in verse 48, the one who is not aware of what he should be doing would be subjected to lesser punishment compared to the one who is fully aware but yet in disobedience neglect that. Do you see that? That God meets us at our place of knowledge or revelation. We continue here. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. This is the Lord Jesus continuing. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Exactly. To whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is not given, much is not expected. So God deals with us at the level of our revelations or at the level of our knowledge of what we should and should not be doing. God is fair. God is fair, but here's the deal. Most people know what they should be doing, but they don't do it. But if somebody is outrightly ignorant about some revelation of God or about some revelation in their life and they just never received that, God will not hold them accountable to that ignorance. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying. But God has told us that my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. We have the full counsel of the word of God. We do not need to be ignorant. Because friend, man or mankind's biggest problem is ignorance. And Satan thrives on ignorance. So you know how you solve that problem? You become knowledgeable by spending time in the word of God. And you ask God to give you revelation. Okay? So I want to end this session here. So what are the major principles and applications we have learned, rather, from verses 35 through 48 here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12? Number one, always be ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. It could happen at any time. Okay. God is patient, wishing for none to perish, but for all to have eternal life. But nobody knows when. It could happen at any time. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 teaches us that God is patient, okay, wanting for none to perish. Number three, the major principle and application we've learned here, we are called to believe God's word. We are called to embrace godly truths as Christians. We are called to a life of obedience and love. We are called to a life of fulfilling and or advancing the Great Commission. So what is your role in that? I mentioned earlier, tell your neighbor what Christ has done for you. So I want to end this session here, and I just want to say that please remember to visit our website and get the book I talked about, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. And friend, we want to thank you in advance for your love, a donation of $33, so we can ship this book to you and visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi, and on Zelle. We receive donations through Zelle. The telephone number is 909-501-9031. We will have this information in the description box for you to click and get this book. Or if you don't think you need this book, would you please open your heart to bless us with a one-time donation so we can put it right back into this Bible teaching podcast and advance the kingdom of God. Again, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. This book will offer practical tips on how to live as a Christian and overcome daily in your life. We thank you in advance for your donation. And if you live overseas, please get it from Amazon, because we do not ship overseas. Now, before we end this session, I don't want to take it for granted that you listening to me right now, that you have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. I just want to give you an opportunity to do so. As I have been explaining, 2 Peter 3, 9 teaches that God is patient, wishing for none to perish, but for all to have eternal life. Eternal life is only found in one person, Jesus Christ. As I explained, Jesus Christ, God 100%, man 100%. He wants you to come into this relationship with Him. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You don't need to suffer and pay for your own sins. Why would anyone reject a free gift? The Lord Jesus has taken care of that sinful nature on the cross. So if you have not truthfully confessed faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says it is simple. If you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as God 100%, man 100%, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, He died on that cross for your sins, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. If you believe that, you just ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, He will receive you. He will accept that. Just receive the forgiveness of your sins. You may say, well, I haven't sinned. No, all of us have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You see, the Bible teaches so clearly that when Adam and Eve transgressed God's law, mankind fell from grace, and sin and death entered into this world. So everyone born into this world by a woman inherits a sinful nature, because Adam and Eve are considered as our ancestors, the ancestors to the human race. So you don't need to have committed acts of sin. Just being born into this world qualifies you as a sinner. You inherit that sinful nature, which is why God in His grace became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, revealed God the Father to us, and died on that cross for that sinful nature. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead, fulfilling all prophecies about the Messiah. So that sinful nature that you inherit at the time of your birth into this world has been dealt with on the cross. All God is saying, if you believe in My beloved Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you confess Him as Lord and Savior, invite Him into your heart, you will be saved. That is it. That is right out of Romans 10:9, that if you believe in Jesus Christ as God, as a Messiah, you just confess that He died and was raised on the third day. He was raised from the dead on the third day. You shall be saved. He died for the sins of the entire world. 1 John 2:2, but each one of us by choice must invite Jesus Christ into our heart. You don't have to figure this whole thing out. You just have to believe and just take a step of faith and just say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. The moment you do so, you will start to have a deeper understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because God, the Holy Spirit, would start to reveal more of Christ Jesus to you. That's all you got to do. So if you've not made a confession of faith, or if you're not sure, here is your opportunity right now. Salvation is right now. Don't put this off. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you to say a very simple prayer with me. Believing in your heart is really what matters. So just say after me. Dear God, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Right now, I believe in my heart, and I am confessing with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. He is alive today. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and change me. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, friend. When you said that, did you mean that? Genuinely, if you did, based on the authority of God's word, I declare you're full of Jesus Christ. And what has happened to you right now, God, the Holy Spirit, has supernaturally come into your heart and sealed you, according to Ephesians 1:13, and you belong to the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. You are saved. Write this date on your calendar, mark it, and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me. Glory to God. You are a child of God. Welcome into the kingdom of light. Now, please contact me. I want to send you a free book so you can have a better understanding of what just happened to you. Welcome into God's kingdom. Thank you, God. So let us just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for those who've accepted your beloved Son Jesus Christ right now. Thank you for accepting them into the beloved. And for all of the listeners, I just thank you, Holy God, that you're revealing things to them in their personal lives, how they can be prepared for the second coming of our Messiah Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for strengthening each listener, for emboldening them to live the life you've called them to live, and to embolden them to share Christ with their neighbor. Thank you, Holy God. We trust you that you're faithful in doing these things. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Horam. Stay blessed, and bye for now.